This is Man-at-Arms, and you are listening to the Masters of Grayskull.
Thank you, Mr. Gary Chalk, as Man-at-Arms from the 2002 He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon series for giving us that promo. I'm, of course, TFG, and Mike joining me is Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We just want to put this at the beginning of every episode for Masters of Grayskull. We dedicate every single episode of this to the memory of Dean Stephan. Dean, who was the writer, story editor, all that kind of stuff on the 2002 He-Man series, passed away May 15th of 2018. And not only are we doing this because we're finishing our Powers of Grayskull series podcast, we're also, I feel at this point, doing this in the memory of him because the stories that he helped create and build for this series, it revitalized the MOTU franchise, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unfortunate that we didn't have a chance to ever talk to him for the show, but we can at least remember him as we move forward.
Absolutely. And now, on with the show.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia, defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 111, the 111th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe is the more positive, more friendly version of TFG1 Mike. Hello.
I'm sorry, I just can't get past this.
Can't get past what?
It's the 111st episode.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, oh, Lord is right, because you can take that ring and shove it.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
So, all right, let me explain. When I was 13 or 14, my dad has always worked for bus companies as mechanics and that kind of thing. And whenever people would leave, like, motor coach buses, not school buses. So, you know, like, trips to Gatlinburg or trips to casinos and things like that. With all the old people and the scratchers and whatever. Well, people would leave stuff on the bus. So in 1993 or 1994, I forget which year it was, he brought home a copy, a very old copy, of The Fellowship of the Ring. I read up until they said Bilbo's 111st birthday, and then I had to go look in a dictionary or look in a wherever you look back then, because there was no internet, to figure out what the hell 111st meant. It says 111th birthday. I hate Tolkien's language. Ugh.
All righty. Are you ready to go back to Eternia?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it then.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go back to Eternia. Wait. But before we do that, I got to tell you about what episodes we're going to be talking about today, which are 10, 11, and 12, which are
the Dragon's You don't even Bruce, know.
Turnabout. And Mechanex Lament. So we're going to start with the Dragon's Brood in episode 10, then we're going to turn about things in episode 11, and finally we're going to lament with Mechanex in episode 12. So we hope you're ready, because now it's actually time to go back to Eternia.
Not even supposed to be here today.
I don't think my father had racing in mind when he sent us on this mission.
What's the matter? Afraid I'll beat you?
First up today is episode 10. Dragon's Brood, air date of November 1st, 2002, written by, I'm assuming, brothers Mark and Michael Edens. Mm-hmm. Racing their sky sleds through the evergreen forest, Prince Adam and Teela stumble upon and rescue a large dragon trapped in a cavern by a rock slide. That dragon continues to be a major part of the episode as Orko discovers its eggs, and they hatch, and chaos ensues. What did you think about our first dragon episode in the 2002 series?
Interesting episode. Again, thankfully, none of the animals talk. This is a series that is rooted in reality, I almost feel. And
as reality as we can have when we have Beastman and Merman.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, this isn't Filmation where... And Beastman is just, you know, a guy with a furry coat on.
Merman?
Mutated fish. It's a la Turtles. And
Whiplash?
Whiplash? I don't know about that one now. But my point is that obviously in Filmation, almost every single animal talked, including Cringer. I think the only animal that didn't talk out of the main cast was Panthor. He just, you know, growled and roared and did whatever cats do. But the maroonish dragon here does remind me of Granomir in look. And obviously, because Adam and Teela helped him, or her, because probably a mother dragon, most likely. God. She's the mother of all dragons. Oh, God. I don't even watch that show. Why do I have those references in my head? Winter is not coming. It's gone.
It's still coming.
No, it's not. It's gone.
No, it's not. Anyways, moving on to this episode here a little bit for me. Cringer was kind of funny in this episode because as they start to scale the rock formation to get to the dragon or whatever they think it's stuck in the cave, Cringer just is like, do I have to wait here for this? And he just kind of like puts his head down and like a bored look on his face. So I thought that was funny. I thought it's fun that we got dragons because that's kind of a staple of Eternia. We should have dragons. You know, Granomir and other dragons existed in the Filmation series, so we need dragons here, and they've found a way to include them. Each episode tries to do some type of cliffhanger. I thought the one in this episode was pretty good. I don't know if you remember this or saw this or caught it or whatever, but dang, Teela just got hit upside the head by a rock.
Yeah, she did.
And that was brutal. The way that they did that looked like it really hurt. Even though I disagree with him, Ram Man has a cool line as he's battling with, I believe, Whiplash. Heads beats tails every time. I mean, I always pick tails, but in this situation, I guess heads does beat tails every time. Ram Man takes his helmet off.
Yeah.
At the end. We get to see Ram Man.
Yep, very cool.
So that was interesting. And a nice save, I guess, by Man-at-Arms at the end, because there is a situation here where basically during the story we have Orko gets a hold of these eggs that obviously belong to the dragon that Adam and Teela saved. The dragons hatch. They wreak havoc on Eternia. They like shiny things. Eventually, Evil-Lyn makes the Castle of Grayskull shiny. The dragons attack Castle Grayskull. Skeletor shows up with his dragon-like thing, whatever that's supposed to be. And then there's a battle, and the dragon that they saved helps because the sniffs He-Man and realizes that it's the same person that saved him, etc. So now we have a situation where Teela's putting two and two together and saying, wait a second, why did the dragon take pity on He-Man? He's never seen He-Man before. Adam was the one that saved him. What is going on here? And Ram-Man basically tries to blow it off and somewhat saves it, I guess. I like the fact that they at least acknowledged that there would have been an issue there. I don't know. I don't know if it's the best way to like solve it, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, it works.
Go ahead.
What I find is interesting that we've always assumed all these years, you know, 30 plus years, almost 40, whatever, that Beastman could control all beasts, and apparently he can't control dragons.
Yeah, that's an interesting bit of trivia, I guess, too, that I didn't remember. In this episode, I guess my only nitpick is when He-Man is basically figuring out that the dragon's the same one that he saved. I don't think we really needed the flashback to show the sequence from the beginning of when they saved the dragon again. I don't think kids are that dumb. Like, they show his claw that's been scratched, and then they show the other one back again at the beginning of the episode. It's like, yes, we get it. They're the same. We already knew that.
I don't know. Even in 2002, there were a lot of kids that just... I don't know.
I mean,
I guess. A little bit of trivia here for you. There was another little side story, and this is kind of going back to what I said in last week's episode, which is that they are kind of on the down low, subtly reaching out to different people throughout Eternia, trying to gather them to join the Masters, etc. So we did have, basically, Adam and Teela originally were on this mission to visit one of these such people, which is led by Chief Carnivus, and his cat people. And basically trying to recruit them. And that was also released as an action figure by Mattel in 2010 in the Classics line. Yep. So another side guest character that you could pick up from that Classics line if you have enough money. I don't know how much they cost these days, but I'm sure you'd have to go on eBay or something to find them. Unless you can still order them through some type of Mattel-related thing, which I doubt.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a cool-looking dude. Reminds me of some other cat-like characters that came in a different show. Yeah. But anything nitpicky for you or anything else you didn't get to talk about this episode?
My only Snake Mountain moment that I wrote down was Orko. Always Orko. It doesn't matter what he does in this series, I just don't like him.
I can see that. I do have one Havoc Staff to give out for today's episode. And I am giving out the Havoc Staff. I guess I got to give four of them out. To the baby dragons, because at the end their mom is fighting another dragon-like beast and they're not helping. Like, why are they not there also helping the big mama dragon defeat Skeletor and the big serpent thing? I don't know what that thing is. Do you know what that thing is? It's not a dragon, so to speak, is it?
I don't think so.
It's like half dragon, half eel,
something like that. Yeah.
It's weird. I'm at a 3.5 on this episode. It's fine. It's good. It's above average. Some things to like about it for sure. But nothing crazy that's going to make me bump it up into the 4 or 5 range.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 3.5.
All right. So both at 3.5. I don't like how much we're agreeing with each other these days. It's not natural. It's not normal, but,
I don't know about actually sold items because I'm not looking at sold items right now, but the first results I get on eBay is like $40.
Could be worse. Could be better. All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to see if Turnabout is fair play.
Weather's a bit nippy, isn't it?
Skeletor. Things go wrong, he still gets away. Takes a certain kind of talent.
Oh, yeah. He might even be an okay guy if he wasn't so evil.
Ramman, you just gave me an idea.
I did?
Your plan is a bold one, Man-at-Arms.
Can you help us make it work?
This vessel contains waters from the magical Lake Vortex, which appears on this plane of existence but once every 1,000 years. This is the only remaining liquid from the lake. It will do what you propose.
The challenge will be to attach it to Skeletor. I think I have a way.
All right, we are in episode 111 today, and now it's time to talk about episode 11 from this series. So episode 11, Turnabout, air date November 8th, 2002. Ones are wild if you hadn't figured that out. Written by Len Uli, I'm going to say. I love how they wrote this plot synopsis on IMDb. Man-at-Arms punishes Skeletor with a magical belt that prevents him from being evil. What did you think about this episode in which Skeletor can't be evil?
This is great. This is awesome. Again, spotlighting a character. Well, now we're fully spotlight. You know, Skeletor has had, I would say, obviously, the most overarching spotlight in the first 11 episodes. Obviously, the beginning with the origins and all that and everything else with the three-parter. But, I mean, actually making him hurt because he wants to do evil, that's ingenious. And then, obviously, they turn that around and try to do that with He-Man to make him hurt whenever he wants to do good, but He-Man's the most powerful man in the universe. You can't do that to him. He's just going to overpower it.
Yeah. You know, I like a couple things. Again, we get a very subtle nod to the Filmation series, because in the beginning, Skeletor is after the Diamond Ray of Disappearance, and He-Man just immediately destroys it. So it's kind of like a funny way to kind of have a nod, but not have it be a central thing, so it's not a complete ripoff of the other episode. Obviously, I'm quoting stuff about the Diamond Ray of Disappearance episode from the Filmation series in 1983. And I like the continuity with the fact that the cat people, I can't pronounce the race that they're part of. So I'm not going to try, because the credits make it really hard to see if it's a Q or a D at the beginning. It's like Quadrant or something weird. But I like that they're appearing in this episode as well. So, it adds a little continuity to the fact that we were introduced to them in the last episode. They're appearing in this episode. So it's not just a one-off. And He-Man has to save, like a mom cat and her baby cat. So I guess that's cool. Really, the only thing for me is like they had to get this, the amount of stuff that they had to do to pull off getting this liquid from this lake that like is only available every thousand some years. And this is the last of the liquid. And this is going to be what makes Skeletor not be able to be evil. And we're going to put it in a belt and put it around his waist, et cetera, et cetera. Cool. All right. And then they're just like, oh, so we're going to go back in the lab and make something that does the same thing to He-Man.
Yeah.
Like, come on, that shouldn't be easy.
Well, again, the episode is called Turnabout, so I mean,
I get it, but like, it shouldn't have been that easy. Like, maybe I would have believed it if they could have gotten, like, some of the liquid out of there, like, extracted some of it, which they did and they tested, but, like, I don't know. Just the fact that they were just able to, like, reverse engineer it that easily made it seem a little bit too convenient, but not a breaking point of the episode.
Mainly, this is Skeletor's comical night. I mean,
yeah,
because He-Man, you know, He-Man obviously has reactions to them, you know, putting the thing on him. But I mean, as I said, He-Man just powers out of it because the sorcerer says your goodness is more powerful, you know.
Right.
By the way, of the good and power
stop
of the what.
You should have just got electrocuted like Skeletor in this episode. Every time you say something like that, you should get electrocuted.
I don't think so.
What else do you have to say about this episode?
Aren't we getting a little close to Snake Mountain?
Don't worry, Teela. Skeletor is probably off licking his wounds.
How wrong you are, Prince Adam. The only wound suffered will be yours. First rule of battle, never allow your enemy to gain high ground.
Like you said.
What is this ridiculous?
What are you wearing?
Never mind this contraption. Destroy them! To me.
It's working. Let's go.
I just found it really, really funny and enjoyable, and I just enjoyed the damn thing all the way through. I thought it was a neat plan that they tried to make Skeletor be good, and having pretty much good half of the episode with them trying to figure out why it's doing that, and then obviously the other evil in and the other evil warriors realize, oh, you can't do any evil. You know,
yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Christmas. I like being evil.
Yeah, and then of course he gets to torture them at the end. But I think you're going to be a little bit higher on this episode than I am. I'm down a step. I'm down to a 3. I thought it was fun. I thought it was average. I don't think there was anything really cool about it except for the allusion to the Diamond Ray of Disappearance. And I don't know. It was like they did the same gag over and over and over again. Skeletor trying to be bad and getting zapped. Skeletor trying to be bad and getting zapped. He-Man trying to overcome and getting zapped. So, like, it kind of wore on me a little bit. I mean, I think it's cool. It's unique. But for me, not quite as great as some of these other episodes. So I'm at a 3. What are you at?
4.
All right. 4 for Mike. 3 for me. One more break, and we're going to come back and talk about the last episode of today, which is all about that dude with the long neck.
What's the matter, Mac?
We won the battle.
No thanks to me. You and the others did all the real work. I did reconnaissance.
What's wrong with...
Everything. It's boring. I mean, Manny Faces has his monster strength. Stratos can fly. Ram-Man can knock down anything. Me? I can stretch my neck and look at stuff.
Hey, what you do is a big deal. Remember He-Man's first battle? You found him and my father trapped in that abyss. You totally saved them.
Yeah, I guess I did help out.
Oh, maybe you ought to let Man-at-Arms take a look at that. Hey, Mech, how's the neck?
All right, last episode up today is episode 12, Mechanex Lament.
Not even supposed to be here today.
It's November 15th, 2002. Conflicting reports on who wrote this one. IMDb says Laura Olson, perhaps that's a married name or a maiden name. The actual episode on screen credits Eric and Laura Runnels. Plot synopsis. While Mechanek is depressed at the apparent uselessness of his ability, an evil sorcerer, we'll talk about who that is, manipulates him for his own ends. Before we go too far, this is one of those episodes that, you know, we talked about how the fact that we both, I think, rewatched the entire series,
mm-hmm.
whatever, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, however long it was ago. Mm-hmm. I had never seen it, so I was kind of going through it for the first time, capturing all the images, etc. And this is one of those episodes that I very much remember. It's one of the ones that stuck with me, and I remember a lot about it. And some of these, it's like relearning or rewatching and being like, oh, yeah, and it's like remembering on the spot or... practically watching for the first time again, but this is definitely one that I remember very much so from our previous watch there. I don't know about you, but what did you think about Mechanex Lament?
Oh, I love this episode. I loved it back when I originally watched it when it aired. I love it now. I loved it, like you said, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago when we watched it. No, this episode is amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's valid. Like, you know, like he's talking about, Ram-Man can bust down a damn wall. You know, Stratos can fly. You know, Manny Faces is just hella cool. Mechanek has a long neck. So he's useful for reconnaissance, which in a lot of senses, people would think that that's... It's like, you know, Army, Navy, military, think of it. You know, who gets all the credit? The reconnaissance people that view satellite images and stuff like that, or the people that are right there, you know... killing Osama bin Laden or, you know, whatever. They're doing the work, it seems like. And there's a stigma to those that were in providing the intelligence or doing the reconnaissance. So I get it. It's a legit feeling for him to have. But this episode is way more than just that. So we get the introduction for the first time in this episode of Count Marzo. So obviously the character was created for Filmation, appeared in 3 episodes back in that series that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Did also get an action figure in the 2010 Maddie Collector, etc. But that figure was based off of this incarnation, not the Filmation.
Thank God.
So we get Count Marzo here. We also get a reference to King Miro.
I sense grave danger. The evil Count Marzo has returned.
Count Marzo? Name doesn't ring a...
Many years ago, Marzo's thirst for power had become all-consuming. He attacked the Hall of Wisdom. The elders were caught unaware. If not for the army of Captain Miro.
My grandfather.
Capture him!
What did you think about this episode? I know you said you liked it, but that's why
I thought... Yeah, I mean, no, it's great. It's, you know, we get character development on Mechanek. We get, you know, him almost having a broken neck. And then he fixes it, but it's dealing with his... Again, this series... Like, I know you're a little down on the Tila thing, but this series is more so dealing with the emotional... problems of the Masters and of the Evil Warriors as well, kind of thing, like where they came from, what is going on with them.
Yeah,
I mean, Mechanek, his neck is what he's known for.
Yeah, like it's in his name.
I,
damn it.
I don't know. And he even uses it to obviously tie up Marzo later. I love this. I think it's great. I think this is a much better version. I remember when I watched this episode and then we went to watch the Filmation version of Marzo. Oh, God, I hate that. I hate the Filmation version of him because I watched this first and this is so good. Kind of makes me feel like the old man version of him is like the little old man in Aladdin. The street peddler.
Yeah.
Dude. Or he's a shorter version of the old version of Jafar in the jail cell kind of thing. So I, you know, got an Aladdin vibe off of that. But yeah, basically Marzo's thing is, oh, the palace, oh, the king, oh, revenge. Has nothing to do with Grayskull, has nothing to do with finding the power of Grayskull. This episode doesn't even have Skeletor in it. And that's a testament to this series. You don't have to rely on Skeletor with the storytelling that they're doing here all of the time. You can introduce characters like this. Like, we always complained in He-Man and She-Ra when they would introduce, like, weird one-off characters because it wasn't done properly or whatever, or that one character that was on the planet trying to do something for Skeletor. Remember that one episode that one guy, whatever his name was, kind of thing? Like, with this, you have starting out with Mechanek and telling his story, which leads into Marzo showing up and promising him three wishes and blah, 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 and whatever, and obviously Mechanek falls for it, and then we have the whole battle, and like you said, you know, involving, or not involving, but, you know, mentioning King Miro, He-Man's grandfather, and all of that, just a great, great history part of this series.
And there's a cool visual, really cool, too, that's showing King Miro, and then it fades into He-Man to kind of show the resemblance and whatnot. I mean, basically, like I've talked about ad nauseum throughout these 111 episodes, like two things that are going to get me liking, or two things that I like about these types of cartoons, and specifically in this franchise that I'm looking for in the episodes, is both, well, three things, honestly. Continuity from episode to episode in little bits and pieces. Doesn't have to be a story that's literally part one, part two, but something that's like I said before, the cat people showing up in a second episode. That's continuity. You know, the character development. So when we get a character-centric episode, that's really kind of getting into that character and what makes it tick. And then the mythology or the history, when we can connect, you know, to what happened in the past, origin stories, what happened in previous series, etc. And this really gives you two of those things in spades with the history mythology aspect and the character development. So I like that a lot. I love the look of Marzo. He sounds a little silly, I'm not gonna lie. Now that I'm watching this again, he is very much, if you played a clip of him and then you played a clip of Sebulba from Star Wars, it's almost the same thing. He is very much Sebulba-like. He sounds a little silly. I wanted him to sound a little bit more impressive, a little more intimidating. So I had a slight problem with his voice, but he looks badass as hell. So I'll give him that.
So, the Hall of Wisdom is no more. And Randor, son of Miro, now rules the Kingdom of Eternia.
I don't know, man. It's just cool that the fact that they also left this episode open to be revisited because the amulet they showed at the end is not destroyed. Like you said, I like that they have a Skeletor, mostly Skeletor absent episode. I believe he appeared like in the first scene, but or sequence or whatever, but basically not in this episode. So I like that, and it does show that they can do some stories without the Masters or without the villains. That's another thing that's kind of cool in these series, when you can not just do the He-Man versus Skeletor in every episode, where you can find other things to do to kind of keep it fresh. That's helpful. There's really not much to pick on with this episode.
No, there isn't at all. And Michael Donovan versus John Irwin, while I love John Irwin and what he did with He-Man and everything else, I just, Marzo's voice in Filmation just...
I didn't hate Marzo in Filmation as much as you do, I don't think, but...
It's not that I hate him, it's just that I find the 2002 one to be a superior character than the Filmation one. Again, it's comparing and contrasting, you know, 20-30 years between the two kind of a thing. And
oh, I said Sebulba. I meant to say Watto, by the way.
Of course you meant to say Watto.
He's a little bit like Watto from Star Wars. Though it's a little bit silly.
A little bit.
But other than that, not too much to complain about. This is going to be one of the highest rated episodes that I have so far, and that is a 4.5. Not quite ready to give out a perfect rating yet, but 4.5 for me, and I'm assuming 5 from you?
Yep.
All right. Anything else to say about this episode?
Nope. Go watch it, folks.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Mike will wrap it up and send us away.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know. Let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the GeekCast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
All right, we are back. Thank you for joining us as we are the Masters of Grayskull. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, GeekCastRadio.com, where you can comment on this, all of our other podcast episodes from this show and all the other shows. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I did check. No one has left feedback since 2017, I believe. Follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio is the network Twitter. At Pow of Grayskull is the show. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Mine is at Optimus Solo. But we were talking about the new adventures. So now we're talking about Masters in 2002. We're going to get some talking. We're going to get some feedback. We're going to get some iTunes reviews. I can feel it. It's coming. Don't fret.
Let's hope. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed the Grayskull goodness today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we'll take a look at the next three episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, those being Night of the Shadow Beasts, Underworld, and the Mystery of Anwatgar. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
The reason everyone's here, Optimus Solo.
Yeah, that's not the reason.
Oh.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, we have the power.